Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Michigan Mobile Musings, a podcast of the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan, MTAN for short. My name is Melissa. Detroit patients have a new transportation option for getting to and from medical appointments. Splits, a carpooling app and a part of TechStars Mobility, has partnered with Lyft to provide non-emergency medical transportation to underserved markets. Listen in today to learn more about Split and how it's different from rideshare apps. Joining me today is David Smith, Split CTO. David, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Melissa. It's a pleasure to be here.
You're very welcome. I'd like to start with first helping our audience learn more a little bit about you personally. It's my understanding that you previously ran Startup Grind Lansing events, and that you also either owned or were a partner in several technology firms in the Lansing area. Can you tell us a bit about your experience and what you learned about being a startup business?
Sure. Yeah, I've built a few businesses, most not successful, and some have had some level of success, you know, nothing to write about in the paper, but I've built a couple consultancies, and those have done just fine. And the area that I've had the most trouble in and tried the most is in building software products. So probably for about the past 7 years or so, you know, every now and then I'll have an idea and I will build a piece of software, proof of concept, and then that's pretty much where it ends. And the thing that I learned the most in these experiences, as an engineer, you know, early in my career, I always saw the sales guys, seems like they're flying around, they're going to golf courses, they're having a good time. And as an engineer, I felt, you know, we're the ones that are doing all the work, we're building the value, you know, what do we need these guys for? And having my own companies, I've seen that if you can't sell it, it doesn't matter. And by default, nobody wants to buy your stuff. There's no such thing as build it and they will come. You build it and nobody cares. Not nobody, maybe like your mom cares a little bit, but she doesn't understand it and she's not going to buy from you. So essentially nobody cares. And it's such a struggle to get out there and make people want it, to make people care. Even when the products are free, it's still hard to get people to, you know, click that download button, click that sign up button, because everybody is so crushed for time.
Absolutely. So when you were first speaking, I love your honesty, first of all. You know, just the blunt honesty. You've done a lot of things. Some have done well. Some have not done well. And you're right. You know, a lot of people think that salespeople are just out there playing. They're not really doing anything. And they don't really work. But if you can't sell it, if somebody isn't going to buy it, or if you can't fill a need, then what's the point? It's not going to go anywhere. So I love your honesty. Thank you so much for sharing.
Absolutely.
So you've only recently joined Split. How did you come to be involved with this firm?
Yeah, so actually, you mentioned Startup Grind Lansing. And so I was the director in Lansing, and I've been a startup junkie for quite some time, you know, reading the blogs, listening to the podcasts, almost a decade. And when TechStars Mobility came to Detroit, somehow I got their events and somehow connected with Ted Serbinski, the managing director here at TechStars Mobility. And then when I was running Startup Grind Lansing, I asked Ted to have Anya come speak at our event. And so he connected Anya and I directly. Before that, I had just, you know, been at her pitches and been wowed as a member of the audience, you know, seeing her describe a better future.
And Anya is?
Oh, sorry. Anya is the CEO and one of the founders of Split.
Excellent. So what made you decide to take on this opportunity? You've been based in Lansing. You've been, you know, building your life in Lansing. And now all of a sudden you're off. You're in Detroit. And what enticed you? What wowed you so much, as you put it, about this opportunity?
So there are two reasons. One is to be able to have a big impact. And then the second is for me to learn personally about how to run a startup. And so the coolest thing about Split is the opportunity to have such an impact on the world, both on an environmental perspective and also on a getting people out of bumper-to-bumper traffic perspective. And so what our company does is it helps people share rides with their coworkers so that there's less traffic on the roads, which helps both with the pollution, helps with the time to get to work, helps with parking, and a whole slew of issues. And so I was really aware of the first two, you know, the environmental impact and time impact, because I know I hate myself sitting in traffic. And so that was the number one reason to join. And then the number two reason, which is selfish, is, you know, I said earlier that I've been trying to, you know, build software products for 7 years or so. And Yale and Anya, two co-founders, they've both had successful companies, and this company is successful. And so I wanted to come and see how they're doing it, you know, kind of almost like going to college.
Nice. Yeah, it's kind of learning hands-on, right? Like almost like an apprenticeship of sorts. You have technology.
Exactly.
You bring a lot of value, but they're going to help you go to that next step. So let's talk a little bit about the rideshare industry overall. You know, we hear that, you know, there's a number of other firms in the U.S. and worldwide in this space. Do you think that there's room, number one, for everyone, or, you know, who might be coming that's going to be your competitor in the future? Is there a difference in the types of customers each is targeting? Can you talk to that a little bit?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of room. This is a new industry. People weren't thinking about sharing until really Uber and Airbnb came around, and now everybody knows what the sharing economy is. Before that, I don't think anybody was talking about it. And now, if you go to pitch competitions, it seems like 80% or more of the startup ideas out there are all about the sharing economy. And then for ride sharing specifically, transportation is such a huge industry. I'm blanking on the numbers, but there's a huge percentage of GDP that is spent on moving people, goods, and services. And so I think there's a huge opportunity in ride sharing. And then as far as Split specifically, most of the apps are focused on consumers and peer-to-peer. And instead of Split, focus on the enterprise. So we help out big companies that have thousands of employees. We help them with their transportation solutions so that they can have happier workers, have their workers so they aren't stuck in traffic, and help alleviate that pollution problem. And there aren't many companies playing in the enterprise space. You know, I think it's not as sexy. And also, I think people don't have that personal problem. I think a lot of the founders, you know, they're not working at huge multi-thousand person companies. And so I think it's harder for them to feel that pain and to build solutions to those problems.
So based on what you've already shared with us, how important do you think the rideshare industry is? And even though you've touched on this a little bit, you've mentioned a couple of problems it solves. How do you get them, these people, to understand the pain and take them to that next level?
I think you asked, what was the first question you asked there?
Why do you think that the rideshare industry is important? And then ultimately what problem does it solve, and or how do you get them to recognize the pain?
So I think here in Michigan, I think we can still understand its importance. If you think about I-96, I feel like any time that I'm on that road, I'm going to be in some slowdowns and it's not going to be fun. But you know, it might be down to like 20 miles an hour or 15 miles an hour. If you go to a city like Chicago or New York, you know, then it's the cars aren't moving and they're just deadlocked. And so ride sharing, you know, we envision a future where you look at the freeway and it's not cars bumper to bumper and it's not cars going 20 miles an hour. You know, it's much less vehicles on the road. You know, vehicles can hold, you know, four people, vans, buses, you know, can hold a lot of people. But instead, we've pretty much got everybody driving their own car in America. You know, a lot of households have three cars. And it's, you know, it's like a car per driver, or sometimes you've even got a few vehicles per driver, and that abundance here in the U.S., you know, causes problems with congestion and pollution. And so in the future with ride sharing, we don't need to have those problems.
So how do you get, so you talked about the enterprise accounts, how do you get them to recognize this pain and that this is something that's good for them?
Now, fortunately for us, they already recognize that pain. I didn't know this before joining, but these companies spend a ton of money on making sure that their employees can get to work. It's in the form of parking structures. It's in the form of sometimes company cars for employees. Sometimes there's like all kinds of money that's going out from the company to help their employees so that they can come to work every day. And so these companies are already like feeling the pain, and they're excited to work with us.
So what do you see, like maybe looking forward, maybe 5-10 years, what can we expect from this industry?
It's still early, and as we move forward, I think it's going to be more and more sharing. So, you know, I talked before about how everybody wants one car per driver, and that's because it's convenient. You know, if I wanted to go somewhere, I just want to get in my car and go. And if I have my own car, I can make sure that I do that. If I don't have my own car, now it's a scheduling problem. You know, how do I get from point A to B? But with these ride-sharing technologies, and what we do is we help make that easy. So I can just say, oh, I'll be at work tomorrow at 8, and then these technologies, including ours, can say, oh, hey, there's this person who lives 2 blocks away from you, and they also need to be at the same place. Why don't you guys just ride together? And then I can pick on my phone, and I can say yes, I can say no, and so that makes it really easy. And so that's like on a specific example that I think people can envision today. But you could also think about all the other modes of transportation, trains, cars, buses, planes, and having technology be aware of your preferences and your constraints in terms of time and money. And you can envision technology really helping you get from point A to point B in the best way for you.
Sounds good. So when I think of most of the rideshare options that are out there, it seems like those are all focused on urban areas, you know, which I get. You know, there's a lot of people. It's a very dense populated area, so it makes sense. But what about some of the suburbs? And I guess I'd like to think even beyond the suburbs. So, for example, I attended the ACE 2017 event last week in Detroit, which I'm from Grand Rapids. I drove over there. When I got there, I saw a ton of people from Grand Rapids that were there, and I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, we should have save, you know, time, gas, blah, 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 blah. Will there be options to accommodate for that? Or, say, for example, I'm not flying out of the Gerald R. Ford Museum. I want to fly out of Detroit. You know, I think that there's a bus or something that runs occasionally, but what about rideshare options for that? Do you see that in the future?
Absolutely. I think that's where it's even – so what's that?
I said, sorry about that. It was kind of a few questions at once, so if you forget, let me know.
Yeah. Well, no, I think it's even more important for those rural areas, those less densely populated areas, because as you pointed out, then they've got a farther distance to travel. And so for them, you know, it's even more beneficial. And then, I don't know about you, but I don't like being in the car, you know, for hours on end all by myself. But with technology, well, actually, let me give another example. I think I used to work for the state of Michigan probably about 10 or 12 years ago, and we had some staff in the UP, and they did ride share when they came down to Lansing because the inconvenience of scheduling a ride, you know, carpool between them, it was better for them to figure out and to carpool down and go through that hassle. But they didn't have any technology, so they were just doing it manually. But now if you can imagine in the future where you do have the technology and now it's not a hassle anymore to schedule that, then it would make complete sense, you know, if you're going to go from Lansing to Florida or wherever, that you would want to see the ride sharing options. And, you know, maybe somebody's going direct there, you know, just right from Lansing to Florida, or maybe somebody's going from Lansing to Chicago, and then somebody's going from Chicago to Pennsylvania, and then down to Florida. And technology can take away the headache that would be for us to coordinate that and just make it a seamless, easy experience.
Well, and I'm thinking of all the work that I could get done while I'm commuting. I mean, you know, I've always laughed and said, hey, I need a chauffeur so that, you know, I can be on my computer, or I can be making phone calls, or, you know, maybe even just taking a little bit of a nap. But I'm thinking, oh, my gosh, if somebody else can take me from A to B, and I can now, you know, use that extra hour before I get into the office, or extra half hour, whatever it might be. You know, the Rapid here in Grand Rapids launched the Silver Line a year or two ago, and they have Wi-Fi on the buses. So the people who are commuting from the suburbs into the city can sit there and they can be on their, you know, laptops doing work or whatever. And I'm like, oh, my gosh, I want that. How do I get that? So it sounds like you're offering kind of that opportunity, and it's benefiting more than just me, which is perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
So what are some of the challenges facing the rideshare industry?
So I think, not considering technology, just ride sharing in general and why it hasn't happened in the past is, you know, that coordination barrier was too high. Like if I wanted to go to Detroit, actually, you know, for like the Techstars event last year or the year before, it was just too much of a pain in the neck for me to figure out who's going, when do they want to be there, when do they want to come back, all those, what kind of music do they like. And so technology, what we're doing right now is tackling that hurdle. And then I think the other hurdles are more around the culture and the flexibility. So I think right now, you know, especially in America, we're so used to having our own vehicle, and it's, I think, a sign of status when you have your own car. Yeah, I think some of my friends might look at me kind of funny if I was like, oh, no, I just don't have a car. I don't use my own car. And so that's going to be a big hurdle to, like, shift that mindset and try to make it, you know, cool for people to share their vehicles instead of people having their own. And then along that is the flexibility. So right now it's nice, you know, if I drive myself somewhere, I can leave when I want, I can show up when I want, I can be late if I want. I can do all kinds of things. But if I am riding with other people, then I'm going to have to be flexible and, you know, maybe plan beforehand and say, yeah, I'm going to get there at this time and I'm going to leave at this time. Or maybe I say that and then they want to stay late or they want to get there early. So I think that there's some changes there that'll be interesting, you know, around flexibility.
Sure, I can understand that. How, if at all, do you expect the connected to the autonomous vehicle industry to impact rideshare?
Yeah, that's a good question. And so I think that with the autonomous vehicles, it's going to make ridesharing even easier. Because one of the challenges now is, like, if I drive somewhere, then my car is just going to sit wherever I drive. You know, maybe it's sitting at my house almost all the time, or it's in a parking structure almost all the time. And if my car is just sitting, then it can't be shared. But with autonomous vehicles, then if I had a car, then, you know, instead of just sitting at a parking structure all day or at my house all day, you know, it could be out being used by other people to move them around instead of just sitting idle. And so I think that autonomous vehicles are going to be a big boon for sharing.
Absolutely. I know I've heard some other people talk about it, and they're talking about, you know, if I want to go to the airport, you know, I take the car out to the airport, I leave it, but then somebody else flies in, they grab that car, they go, you know, to the next spot. And so it's just this constant cycle. The other thing is I'm thinking of how much money I spend every month on a car payment or car insurance or the two combined, especially in Michigan. It's like, wow, to not have that expense, it's kind of nice. And I'm thinking, hey, let's give this a try.
Exactly.
So I understand that Split and Lyft have formed a partnership. Can you tell us about that partnership, why it was formed, and, you know, what it really enables?
Yeah. Yeah, so we're really excited to be partnered with Lyft. I think everybody's heard of Uber, and I think most people have heard of Lyft. but you know, Lyft and Uber are very similar, and had a small beta program, and we were really excited to be selected as one of the participants in their beta program. And what that lets us do is opens us for this non-emergency medical transport business. And so today, one of the problems people have when they go for medical procedures is they go and have the medical procedure done, but then they can't drive themselves home. And actually, I did drive a friend of mine, I think this summer. You know, he had a procedure done, and I waited while the procedure was done, and then I took him home afterwards because he couldn't drive himself. But with Lyft, what that lets us do is not like our carpool sharing business where somebody's sharing their car to go to the same destination. Our Lyft integration, that lets us have hospitals dispatch Lyft drivers to come take patients home after appointments. Gives them another option, you know, if their spouse or their friends can't get off of work, or they just don't want to inconvenience their friends, then they can have the hospital use our service to get them home.
If I remember, and you'll have to correct me if I'm wrong, was that you can actually reduce time. So say, for example, I wanted to take public transportation from A to B. I am now at the whim of their schedule, be it a bus, be it a taxi. It's like whenever they're available. But it's something I think I remember reading, that you can actually cut down on time, making it minutes maybe instead of like half hours, quarter hours, hours, something like that. Can you talk about that just really quickly?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just like you said, you know, if you're on the bus's schedule and the bus comes every 15 minutes or every half an hour or every 45 minutes, you're on that schedule. And if the bus is late, the bus is late. But with Lyft, pretty much you say, you know, get me. And then, you know, within 5 to 10 minutes, there's a car right there to get you and take you directly home. Oh, I guess, yeah, the direct is a good point, too, because with the buses, it's not going to be, you know, just from point A to point B. It's going to be whatever the bus route is, and there might be some walking in between for you to get where you need to be. But with Lyft, it takes you from exactly where you are to exactly where you need to go, and it's right there to you.
Nice. Thanks for sharing. How important is mobile tech to Split in the rideshare industry overall, and can you tell us why?
If it's not critical, it's whatever is just below critical. And so, you know, we talked about the need for convenience, and with mobile, you know, having a computer in your pocket that's got GPS, that's got text messaging, that's got notifications, all of that stuff is what makes ride sharing work well. Because you know, if you need to be at work at 8 and it takes you 20 minutes to get there, then if you're like me, you might be running out the door. You know, with 22 minutes, so you got an extra 2 minute buffer, and in case you miss that buffer, and you need to let the person know that you're running late. And with mobile tech, you know, wherever that person is, they can be notified immediately. And without it, it would be tough. And then of course, if anything gets haywire, and just notifications aren't enough, then you can use the mobile technology to directly call that person and give them, you know, a full update.
Right. So it seems like it would be pretty cool. But yes, I am like you. It's like, oh, I have to be there in 20 minutes. So yes, I leave at 22 minutes too. And then you hit every red light going in and you're like, oh, drat.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So Split came to Michigan to participate in the TechStars Mobility Program. And then they stayed here after graduating. Why did they decide to stay?
So I'm from Michigan, but Yale is from Atlanta, one of our co-founders, and Anya's from New York. And I guess those places operate a little bit differently than Michigan. They've just felt such a warmth from Michigan. Everybody that we meet wants to help us. And so, you know, we love being here and we want to stay here. Everyone wants to help. They're so so giving and so generous, and it's really awesome to be here.
Nice. So you mentioned New York, things like that. If you had to take this technology, move it to a bigger city, say, for example, do you have any idea how the concept would change? Or, you know, like when I think about a city like New York, I think of endless traffic jams, lots of taxis, lots of colorful language and things like that. How do you think an application like Split would change that type of environment?
I think it would change it for the better. And actually, we just launched with Bosch Mexico last week in Mexico City. And Mexico City's got, I think it's the fourth or fifth largest city, 2 million residents. So it's a little bit bigger than New York. And, you know, the technology works really well in those environments, and it has the most opportunity to make a big impact in terms of pollution there and reducing people's wait times. So, you know, in Mexico City, a ride that should only take maybe 20 minutes or 30 minutes, you know, might take an hour or an hour and a half, you know, from 7 to 9 in the morning, from 4 to 6 in the evening, because that's when everybody wants to get to work and that's when everybody wants to leave. And so, you know, our app has such a opportunity to make such a in those bigger cities. One of the challenges when I think about New York specifically is when I've visited there, they have a really good public transportation system. And so even, not as a lot, but some of the people that I was visiting with, when they work on Wall Street, you know, they take the subway to work. And if they take the subway to work, then they're not driving their own cars to work. So, you know, we're not going to be able to help them much other than just cleaning up the air.
Right. So what about like a area like, say, for example, I want to go, I'm in Petoskey, which is up by Traverse City, or say Traverse City. So What if, you know, I'm used to these services, so I don't own a car. What if I want to go to Traverse City and I want to go wine tasting for the weekend? Do you think that there will eventually be opportunities where Split or Lyft will eventually be throughout the state? So if I have, because I'm assuming that there's a charge, of course, I have a Lyft account, I have my usual rides that I do down here, but now I'm going up there for the weekend and I take a car up, and then how am I going to get around in Traverse City?
Yeah, I think like today, I think today, you know, that situation is really tough. Actually, one of my friends got married up somewhere around there a couple of years ago, you know, that top left area of Michigan, and he was from Seattle, and he flew into Detroit, and he wanted to take an Uber from Detroit up to wherever we were. I'll just call it Traverse City, even though it wasn't. And everybody just looked at him, they're like, "But no, that's not going to work." And he was like, "Oh man, what kind of place is Michigan where I can't Uber around?" But to your point, you know, as these things become more mainstream and there are more people who rely on these, then there's going to be more of a market for it. And then along with the scheduling technologies, you know, there might be like a convenience trade-off. So there might be somebody, if you want to get from Petoskey to Traverse City, depending on how much you're willing to pay, it might make sense for somebody to drive from Grand Rapids to you or from Detroit to you to make that trip happen for you. And the cool thing about technology is that you guys can negotiate that through the technology where you can say, oh, you know, I'm willing to pay $100 or I'm willing to pay $1,000 or whatever. And then the technology can handle to find you somebody who wants to facilitate that transportation. But as ride sharing gets more and more popular and more people are using it, then there's going to be more and more people providing those services. So there's a nice equilibrium there is the future that I see.
Nice. Is there any other information about Split or the rideshare industry that you'd like to share with the audience today? And maybe specifically your website, because I don't think we've shared that yet.
Oh, absolutely. So our website is splt.io. And I think the coolest thing that I want to share with the audience is that for me, before I came on board, I thought it was like the old. When I thought about the transportation industry, I thought it was the old players. You know, I was picturing, you know, white-haired people and, you know, suits and you know, both men and women in their business suits, you know, sitting around round tables and having no idea what was going on with ride sharing. But having been here, I know that all these transportation companies, they know a different future is coming. And so it's actually quite an exciting space to be in the enterprise ride sharing. It's not like I thought it was. It's not the old guard versus Silicon Valley. It's everybody in the transportation space, it understands that it's changing, and they're all trying to be that change.
Absolutely. That's an excellent point. The automotive industry that our parents knew is not the automotive industry that we're playing in today. Computers are, I can't remember, but I think it was like at least 150 lines of code in every car going out. That's only going to increase. So as the cars become more technologically advanced, as we start going with more of the connected and the autonomous vehicle, infrastructure, things like that, there's definitely a lot of opportunity. And it's companies like yours, and I know that you attend a lot of events. You know, we've seen each other over there before. We attend a lot of events where we're learning about what's coming and what the future holds. And I really kind of think that it's up to us to help educate people who aren't seeing this or who maybe are unaware of what's coming and what the opportunities are. So I think that's a really, really great point that you make.
Exactly. Yeah, you stated it very well.
So thank you. Well, David, I would really like to thank you for joining us today. It's a pleasure to talk to you as always. I'm really excited about your new opportunity, and I think that split is definitely an idea whose time has come. I think of a lot of people who can really make use of this service. I love the fact that I think that you're working a little bit with billing, which I really didn't touch on, but it's an idea whose time has come, most definitely, and I look really forward to seeing how it evolves in the future. Thank you.
Thanks. It's really cool to be on your program, and you're right on. It's exciting to be here, and you know, building the cool technology, you know, that powers that's going to power the future of mobility.
Absolutely. So, well, you have a great day, and I will see you to the next event.
Okay, thanks, Melissa.
You're welcome. NTAM provides excellent resources for businesses and individuals in the mobile wireless space. For more information about the Mobile Technology Association of Michigan or upcoming events, please visit our website at gomobile.org or follow us on Facebook or Twitter at GoMobileMI. Thanks for listening, and make it a fantastic week.